is. And I'm going to take us on a little bit of a word trace. So we're just going to do one or two little things a bit differently here. So that's John chapter 19, verses 15 through 30. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests and the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shears, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them, and they cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. Later, knowing that it was now completed, and so that scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop, of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Then, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Just before we start, let's just commit our time to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we look again into your word this morning, we just want to see a little bit more of yourself. Father, we just want to remember today all that you've done for us. And Father, we just want to thank you for that great love that you've poured out for us. Lord, we just pray that you might open our eyes a little bit afresh to it today, that our love might be renewed and built up in you. Father, we just want to thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting. I've learned several languages, and oftentimes we come to words in our language and we just go over them. We just sail right on past them. We don't even think about the meaning of them too much. And I was sort of thinking about this because you realize it's only in English and German that we call Easter, Easter. It's not called that anywhere else. Other languages, it's called Big Friday or Friday of Lamentation or the Great Friday or High Friday or Passion Friday or Holy Friday or Long Friday. So that's in a few different languages. But in some other places, we've got different names for it. In our tribal language this morning, I'd say Ota Tidakaru Maova, which means the Passover, the Great Passover. And that's what this story is really about. And I want to just touch on that a little bit. But Good Friday, you know, it seems always seems to me to sort of stick in my craw a little bit. You know, what's good about Good Friday? And I was thinking about that, and really it's only relative to a certain number of people. The good is only relative. Let me try and illustrate that. Not a very good illustration, but it's the only one I could come up with in a hurry. A couple of years ago, Toshiba had a problem with their laptops. So they sent out news to everybody and they said, we're going to replace your laptops for you at a minimal charge. That was good news to those people that owned Toshiba laptops. but it meant nothing to those that owned Dell laptops because it didn't have any effect. And that's a little bit about what Good Friday is about. And I want to just sort of answer this question about the good as we move on through this morning. You know, it's talking about sin. That's what we're talking about this morning. Sin had to be dealt with. I remember Gusamu. Gusamu, when I moved into the tribe, was probably about 80 years old. And when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, or when he heard the story about the Lord Jesus Christ and what had been done, he came to us missionaries one day and he sat down and he said, "Yeah, but God can never forgive me." And we said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I slew my best friend." He said, "I suspected him of doing something, and when he came to pick me up to go hunting, I had my sarong around me and I said I was sick. And when he arrived, I said, oh, I can't go with you today, I'm sick." And as he turned around, I pulled out my machete and I opened him up from the top of the shoulder to the bottom of the back. And I killed him. God can't forgive me. But you see, God can forgive. And as we went through with him and sat down with him and explained to him what actually happened here on the cross, it became a good day for Gusamu. Gusamu passed away about a year ago today, I think. Yeah, he was a really good friend, you know, and I'm glad he's with the Lord. And my heart goes out to the Jordan family this morning too. I know it's always hard when you lose a good friend, but, you know, it can be a great Friday. But if you don't know the Lord, it's not a good Friday. It's not really a good Friday at all. It's quite sad if you look at what's going on here. I don't know about you. I was thinking about this during the week and just what God has actually done for us here. What has he actually done? In the past, people have done some wrong to me. Then they've come groveling up and apologized profusely and tried to make it right. And in my heart was, "Yeah, I told you so," sort of a mentality. That's not really the thoughts that come out, but it's that kind of thinking. "Yeah, you've done wrong to me. You need to do this." But you see, God didn't do that for us. That isn't what he did. He himself came, even though I committed the offense against him, he himself came and gave himself to pay my sin. Now, I don't know if you can get your head around that. It's a little bit hard to get because a lot of us, we're so conditioned with our human nature, or we just pass on through life and we don't really think about that in depth. You know, God isn't asking us to come groveling to him. He came and made the payment for us. Christ was the propitiation of our sins. Propitiation. I love that word. Unfortunately, it's been dropped. The English today, most of us don't even know what it means, you know. But in the poorest terms that I can explain it to you, propitiation means the satisfaction payment to God. He was totally satisfied with what Christ did for us. You know, Jesus Christ was God. He came and gave himself for us, the created. Have you actually taken that in? How many of you, and I ask this of the tribal people, how many of you would give yourself for your spear gun? You're going to die for your spear gun? It's not worth it. It's just a possession, isn't it? God created us, and yet his love is so great toward us that he's going to die in our place for us. Can you really grasp that? Can you really think that one through? I don't have the language that gives me the understanding of it. And I guess when I read this verse and the song 115 that we just sang, "See from his head, from his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down." He gave everything. He didn't hold anything back. He gave it all for us. I guess this was one of the hymns in my life that I've always remembered I mean, what can I hold back from the Creator God who has given me everything? What can I hold back from Him? We can't make ourselves good enough to get into heaven. We try. Do you believe that? Do we try? I mean, we come to church, we put our 10% on the offering plate, and we think, maybe God will be favourable to us this week, I've put in my full 10%. Or maybe I've been to the prayer meeting this week, and I've been to church, and I've done this, and I've done that. Maybe God will be favourable to us. That, I don't know about you, but every now and then that sort of rises up in my heart, you know. Maybe if I do this, God will be a little bit good towards me. But that's not what it's about. And if we've got that in our mind, we have totally missed the story. Because God has given it to us, everything, freely. If you look in, I'm going to depart from what I'd planned here. Just go to Ephesians. I'm bad at this, I know. My favourite verse, I translated this, and I've probably shared this with you before. Ephesians, I'm sure I have. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus." You see, when Christ died on the cross for me, it wasn't just my salvation that I obtained, but every good thing in heaven was made mine as well. Now, I don't know about you, but if I put that into my context and I see somebody's done something wrong against me, you know, it's pretty tough for me to fork out of my pocket anyway, but to take the whole checkbook and bank account and give it to them as well doesn't even enter my mind. Yet, effectively, this is what God has done for us. I don't know, have you thought about that? Have you really considered what God has done for you? You see, as you consider what He's done for you, it gives you a whole different perspective on life. It gives you a whole different view. It's much easier to give of yourself when you see what God has done for us. And that's what I want to talk about this Good Friday. You know, there's a... one of the things that sort of hides our ability to see God's love is thinking that we can earn something. Maybe I've probably used this illustration too. When we were in the tribe and we had believers, and these guys got really excited and they decided they were going to go out and tell everybody. And so they rushed off out into the jungle and spread out through the eastern arm of Holmaheda and started talking to people out there and telling them. They come back all dejected. They come back, their jaws hanging on the ground, and you know, we said, you know, what's wrong? I said, they're not listening. They're not listening to what we're telling them. And so the next time I was teaching there, I was sitting up front. We had a guy called Taonu. He's still alive today, and he features in one of our videos, but he was sitting sort of about over there from me, and he's a don't like to call him a hypochondriac, but yeah, that's probably a pretty close line to what he was. He's always there with a bit of a headache, or he's always around for tablets or whatever. But on this particular day, he was sitting there looking pretty bright, which was, you know, quite unusual. Anyway, I started speaking, and then I looked over at Town. I said, "Oh, Town, are you not feeling well?" He said, no, I'm fine. I said, okay, so I went on a little bit longer, and I was just going down through the scriptures. And I said, "Town, you're looking sick." He says, no, I'm fine. And I carried on a bit further, and I looked over, "Town, you're really sick." And I pulled out my bottle of aspirin that I had in my back pocket, and I ran over to him, and I give it to him, and says, "Town, take a tablet, you're sick." He says, "No, I'm not sick." And I said, that's exactly what happens when you go out and try and tell these other people about Christ. They don't know that they're sinners. You see, it's only as we grasp the depth of our sin that we begin to grasp the greatness of God's love toward us. You know, and sometimes our religion is like those Easter eggs you're buying down the shop. They're all glittery on the outside and hollow and empty on the inside. And you know, if anything today, I want us to encourage you to think on what God's done for us. You know, so often that glitter on the outside of religion stops us seeing what God has done for us inside. You know, I've got to come back to this one every time. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, the good works comes out of our love, not the good works to earn God's love. You know, sometimes we get the cart before the horse on that. And today I just want us to look now at our Saviour and just what he's done for us. You know, you start to see people when they're under pressure. When people are under pressure, you start to see their true character come out. Right? Now, I'm sure most of you have studied this. Many of you are greater scholars perhaps than I am in the scriptures. But one of the things that I like about reading through God's word regarding the crucifixion is the seven sayings, seven utterances of Christ on the cross. And I believe that shows us something of who God is. Now, we're human and we don't fully grasp love. Our ideas of love are often skew-whiff. But I just want you to look at it. We'll start, and I'm going to try and stick to Mark, and I think it's Matthew and John. Mark, anyway. Just look at the, Luke, first one. You don't need to look them up unless you really want to. It's Luke 23 and verse 34 I'm going to read from. Christ is hanging on the cross. He's just been nailed to the cross by these four soldiers. He's looking down upon these people, not only the soldiers, but the crowd around. And what would you say? I know what I'd say, and it's not this. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You know? That shows me a little bit of God's heart towards us. It's just a little glimpse. I believe in eternity we'll get a better view of God's love toward us. But Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And then over in Luke 23 again, and verse 43. These two villains that were nailed up side by side are busy having an argument. One saying, get us down out of this mess. The other one saying, I've received my just deserves, remember me. And Jesus says to him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Was Christ thinking about himself at this time? No, it was complete servanthood. He was giving totally of himself. He was thinking of others' needs, even though he's in a dire position himself. You know, brothers and sisters in the Lord, sometimes we can help ourselves greatly by not looking at our position, but looking at others. You know, that way we can imitate the Christ on the cross, you know, and a day-by-day thing. It's just so often I get into it, you know, I get times of depression, I'll be honest, I get down. And you know what happens when I get down? The reason is I'm thinking about myself. I need to take my eyes off and look at others. That's what Christ did on the cross. And here, these are in the order, DMP order, Don McCall Perversion Order. I don't say that these are exactly in the right order, but they're as close as I can see, and I challenge you to go home and study for yourself and try and pick this out. And verse 26 of John chapter 19. Dear woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. He took care of his earthly loved ones, even in his dire position. You know, that just speaks volumes to me. Because I would rather be up, I'm going to live it out for myself here. I'm going to get my own thing here. But that's not God's heart. That's not his attitude. And just quickly, I'll go to Mark chapter 15 and verse 34. And this is some hours on. And I believe this is when he was feeling the full weight of sin. The person who had never been separated from his Father. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I believe he knew the answer. It's because my repugnant sin was on his shoulders. And that's why he was forsaken for me. I hope it's personally the same for you this morning. Because if it isn't, it's not a good Friday. Just go back to chapter John, verse 19. Chapter 19, verse 28. And knowing that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. Now, I've done a little bit of research on that, and I believe he was thirsting for the fellowship of God. Okay, that's the way I read it. Now, it may have been a physical thirst, but a DMP, domical perversion, says he was thirsting for that fellowship that he lost because of my sin. That's what he lost for me. The sixth saying on the cross would be back in... this is a paper chase back and forward because I don't think any of them are laid out in the Gospels. Chapter 23 of Luke and verse 46. And Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He totally gave himself back to God. You know, he totally gave himself up. And then the thing that makes this Friday good. It's what I call the seventh one. Iboto kao. It's finished. It's completed. It is done. And what is done? The sin question has been dealt with. The payment has been made. There's nothing more that I can do for my salvation. That's what this means. It is finished. Christ finished the work of salvation on the cross. Not only the sins that have passed, but the sins that I'll probably commit ahead. I hope I don't. I trust that I can see my Father the way I should and love him the way I should and so steer aside from those sins. But this, to me, is the good part about Good Friday. The sin question in my life has been dealt with and finished. Not by anything that I've done. Not by me trying to pay my way into heaven. Or, as one person said when I was working at the Water Corporation back in 96 and I was fellowshipping here, one of the engineers says to me, oh, he says, you'll get into heaven. I says, what do you mean I'll get into heaven? He says, oh, you've been a missionary overseas. I said, that doesn't give me one iota of a step into heaven. Because it was all finished by Christ on the cross. You know, that's what's good about Friday. About Good Friday. Our sin question has been dealt with. We have been passed over. Now, again in English, I talked about the Easter question. Most places it's Pascha. Indonesian anyway, and I think in Malaysian it's probably Pascha too. In Tegutil it's Ototilakuru, which means passing by. The judgment has passed me by, not because of my blood on the doorposts, but because of Christ's blood on the doorposts for us. And that's what Easter is about. As we go out of here, and as we go into this day and this time, I would just love with all my heart for you to think about what God has done for you. Because that's really what it's about. It's not about religion. It's not about coming to church. It's not about putting 10% in the offering. It's not about being a missionary. It's not about giving your life for somebody else. What it's about is God has given his all for you. And that's what we need to dwell on. That's what we need to think on. And you know, Sunday, I see that as the receipt for our payment. The resurrection was God's receipt, his stamp of approval on this payment for me. And I trust that we can just think on that. I don't know if we've got anything else planned for singing, but I think it would be really good if we could just sing this 115 again, if the musicians didn't mind. And for the sake of everybody else in the chapel, my microphone will be switched off.